This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Blessings and peace on His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and his family and his companions and all those who follow them. ونسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا ويغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله علما نافع ورزقا واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We ask Allah to accept from us, to purify our intentions, to accept our efforts from us and our good deeds, and to forgive us and to blot out our sins, as we ask Allah to give us beneficial knowledge and understanding and wide sustenance. On Allah we are utterly dependent, and to Him is our return, and there is no power or might except that of Allah. Brothers and sisters, we begin today with hadith number 17 in Imam An-Nawawi's collection. This hadith, as Imam Nawawi says, أخرجه Muslim. This is related by Muslim. It is not mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, but in Sahih al-Muslim. It is authentic hadith. And as he says, عن أبي يعلى شداد بن أوس رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحْدُكُمُ الشَّفْرَةَ وَلْيُرِّحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. Wa Muslim. This is hadith reported from Abu Ya'la, which is a kunya of Shaddad ibn Aus, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, surely Allah has prescribed or ordered proficiency or excellence in all things. So when you kill any of you, then kill well or in a proficient manner. And when you slaughter, meaning an animal this time, then fa'ahsin al-dhibha, do it proficiently in an excellent manner. And further, well, يُحِدَّ أَحْدُكُمْ الشَّفْرَةَ, let each one of you sharpen his blade, and let him or her spare suffering to the slaughtered animal. Okay, so this hadith, I've given you the gist and the meaning of it. Imam Nawawi has very little to say about it, but his overview of it, he says, overall, basically, this hadith is about ihsan. When you come to, for example, he says, the need for a Muslim being killed in qisas, yeah, that's basically in the situation of murder. One of the options is, of course, the death penalty. And he says, Imam Nawawi, that in this case, it's necessary to have, when the death penalty is given, to have the sharpest blade. I mean, in those times, you're talking about what was introduced, for example, later, was guillotine or a sharp sword. But of course, in present times, that would mean the most quickest and swiftest way of the death penalty being administered and not torturing somebody to death. That's basically what it's trying to avoid. That's what he's saying, Imam Nawawi. And in the case of killing the slaughter of the animal, he's saying by sharpening the blade, again sparing suffering to the animal, making it minimal. Imam Tufi first mentioned about the kunya of this Sahabi, Abu Ya'la. So I'll mention a little bit here of what he says. He says, Abu Ya'la is the kunya of this Sahabi, companion who is Shaddad ibn Aus. He's saying Abu Ya'la was also the kunya. Kunya is when they say Abu somebody, Abu this and Abu that. Was also of Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was also known as Abu Amara, because that was his daughter's name, but one of his other names was, kunya was Abu Ya'la, apparently according to Imam Tufi. It is also the kunya of, the most famous is of Abu Ya'la al-Mawsili. Abu Ya'la, who was a contemporary of Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and a muhaddith, Abu Ya'la. His famous compilation is called the Al-Musnad of Abu Ya'la. Okay, where he collects his hadith. Some of his teachers were the same as those of Imam Bukhari, like Ali al-Madini, for example, and others were the contemporaries of Imam Bukhari, like Yahya ibn Ma'in, for example, and contemporaries of Imam Ahmad. Abu Ya'la, contemporary of Imam Muslim as well, he died later than Imam Bukhari, later than Imam Muslim, towards the end of the 3rd century. So in around 300 Hijra, that's Abu Ya'la. So he mentions Abu Ya'la being a kunya for him anyway. So what he says, Tufi says some interesting things. He mentioned the ayat, a couple of ayat, which mention ihsan, this excellence, yeah. Similarly, Ibn Rajab mentioned those ayat as well. And therefore I'll mention them when I mention Ibn Rajab, what he says. And he says, quite rightly, Imam Tufi, he says, to slaughter an animal with a blunt instrument, yeah, is like punishing and cruelty to the animal. It is like cruelty. But it's interesting that he then goes on mentioning blunt instrument and cruelty. He mentions hadith, which is good, and mentioned by Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah. It's nothing to do with the topic, really, but I should mention it because it's interesting about, and he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's a hadith of Abu Hurairah, man waliya al-qada faqad lubiha bi ghayri sikin aw fi riwayatin man ju'ila qadiyan bayna an-nas faqad lubiha bi ghayri sikin. Whoever is appointed a judge over people, this hadith says, it is as though they had been slaughtered without a knife. Without a knife. You understand that, don't you? Because it's a very difficult appointment to be, made judge over people. Because usually both parties are never happy with whatever you judge and decide. So the burden of it is being explained in a metaphoric sense. It's as though they're being slaughtered without a knife or a sharp instrument. Yeah, in other words, like with a blunt instrument, because it's a painful, enduring and a task. Yeah, that's the idea. Not really to do with the hadith, but anyway, by the way, that's what he mentions. What he does mention, Imam Tufi, that this hadith gives a general principle of Islam. Yeah, a principle in this deen, and that is of ihsan. And he says, and as far as the details of ihsan, there's no limit. It's talking about behavior with others. Yeah, and behavior with others in ihsan means how we deal with animals, the plant kingdom, and with human beings, all of them. Yeah, this is a principle of Islam. And he goes as far as saying, hatta ma'al malaika. He says, even with malaika. Although we don't really have interaction with Malaika, but indirectly he means when the Prophet ﷺ said about coming to the masjid when you come to do a salah, smelling of garlic and onion. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said, that the angels are disturbed and harmed by the same thing other human beings are harmed. So don't come to the mosque to pray when you're smelling like this. So he mentioned that. He says that actually, If this includes ihsan, and you'd be surprised, he mentions it because people would be surprised. He says ihsan even to people who are evil and bad. He said, how do you do ihsan to them? He says that you call them to stop doing the evil and bad and get, encourage them towards doing good. Yeah. Now, Ibn Rajab mentions, of course, the same hadith in his exposition of this hadith, and he mentions another report of it, which is weak, so I won't mention it. But in the same report is good, and it's mentioned by Tabarani from Anas instead of Abu Ya'la. In this report, Anas says, "Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, idha hakamtum fa'dilu." When you judge over people, then be just. وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا. And when you kill, then be proficient. Yeah, do it in a proficient manner. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِنٌ. For surely Allah is muhsin. Yeah, meaning the one who is most excellent in everything that he does. يُحِبُّ مُحْسِنِينَ. And he loves those who do things in an excellent way. Yeah, who are excellent with others. So this hadith has part of the meaning of the hadith that we're dealing with. And that's why Ibn Rajab mentions it. Ibn Rajab then goes on to further explanation. First thing he explains is that here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That this ihsan, here, the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, doesn't mention directly, yeah, the person who is being obligated to do the ihsan. But what is mentioned is that ihsan must be in all things, yeah. But indirectly, it means that all of you must, yeah, all believers, because Allah has ordained it, yeah. And we'll come back to that, kataba, the meaning of that, yeah. It means includes all of us, and it means to all things. So all of us are being ordered to do ihsan and to all things. Ala kulli shay. Kataba ala, as quite rightly Imam Ibn Rajab said, he says, kataba ala has two possible meanings, and the context tells you which meaning it is. What is one of its meanings? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Surely, salah for the believers has been ordered at its time. مَوْقُوتًا. عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. So what does kitab mean here? And what does kitab mean in the ayah to do with fasting of Ramadan, or the fasting? Yeah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba. That's in a passive form, but the same verb, kataba, kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. What does kataba mean here? Anyone?
I think it means that it's prescribed on us as mandatory to do that.
Good. Go ahead. Prescribed. Fard. It's like saying faradallahu alaykum. Allah has made it obligatory upon you. Right? Yes. So kataba has the same meaning as farada. Yeah. Allah has, as you says, prescribed mandatory. Yeah. But kataba can have another meaning as well, as Allah Allah says in the Quran, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُولِي. Allah has written, yeah, that I and my messenger will definitely overcome. Yes, this kataba, what does it mean here? I'll come to that in a minute. It can't mean Allah has ordained that I and my messenger will overcome. Allah has ordered and it's obligatory. It can't mean that. And also in the hadith, which is famous, I mentioned it many times before, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, where's my hadith gone? Kutiba ala ibn Adam. Yeah. Hazzahu min az-zina. Fahuwa mudrikun dhalika la mahala. Kutiba ala ibn Adam. It has been written upon the children of Adam, the son of Adam, or the daughter of Adam, meaning all of them. Yeah. What has been ordered? Their share of adultery, zina. Yeah. And they will fall into it without any doubt. Yeah. Wa, and then the hadith, as you know, goes on to say, wa zina ul ayn, another, and the zina, the adultery of the eyes is the look, and the adultery of the tongue is the speech. Yeah, so it's not talking about full adultery, but using those words. So everybody will have a part in this of human beings, male and female, all human beings. Yeah. So what does kutiba ala mean here? This doesn't mean that they are being ordered to do it, does it?
No. So,
kataba can mean ordered in a context, but it can also mean the qadr of Allah, that it will come to pass. Yeah. So that's why when also Allah, he mentions in the Quran and hadith about it is written with Allah, it means it is the qadr of Allah. Yeah. Allah knows it already. This is to do with the qadr. Yeah. So that's what it means also. But in this hadith, it has the meaning of ordained. It doesn't have the meaning that this is the qadr of Allah, that you will have ihsan. It's saying Allah katab al ihsan. Allah has ordained. Allah has ordered ihsan in all things. So now Imam Ibn Rajab mentions the same two ayat that bring out this idea of ihsan in the Quran. And there are many ayahs mentioning ihsan, but two specific ones bringing out the same idea and principle. Same ayat that Imam Tufi mentions. The first one in Surah 16, An-Nahl, verse 90, the ones that majority of time that is mentioned by the khutaba, khatibs at the Jummah time. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Yeah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ. Here, instead of كَتَبَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word يَأْمُرُ. Surely Allah has ordered بِالْعَدْلِ. Yeah, justice. وَالْإِحْسَانِ. And that's this. And excellence, wal ihsan, wa ita'i dhil qurba, and to give to the relatives, giving to the relatives. Wal yatama, wa ita'i dhil qurba, sorry, not yatama, wa ita'i dhil qurba, wa yanha anil fahshai wal munkar, and he has ordered those things, but forbidden you from lewdness. Yeah, and all that which is munkar and wrong, wal baghi and oppression. Ya'idhukum, he is advising you, ordaining this to you. Ya'idhukum, la'allakum tadhakkarun, so that you will be mindful and take heed. This ayah mentions in it this ihsan as well as being ordained. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah of the Quran, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 195, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. And spend, you're ordered, Allah is ordering here, وَأَنْفِقُوا, and spend in the way of Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا, and do not throw yourselves into destruction with your own hands. That means by not spending in the way of Allah. Don't destroy yourselves by being miserly and niggardly when you have wealth to spend in the way of Allah, to give to others, to help others. Yes? So after saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. and be of people of ihsan. Here, ahsinu means, first Allah orders to spend, then he says ahsinu. Ahsinu means go beyond that which is obligatory. Yeah, there's the need of the relatives, the orphans and the beggar, etc. And then ahsinu means even go out of your way to spend more, beyond zakah, in other words. Yeah, well, ahsinu, yeah, and be excellent. Be excellent. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Surely Allah loves those who are of excellence. Of excellence. Often it's this translated as being and be good. But I believe ahsinu here, be excellent. It's more than just being good. Yeah? It's good can mean on a par level. Yeah, it's a bit like being good with parents is bir al-walidain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one part of the Quran, he says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا, and Allah has ordained that you don't worship إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, except only Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَ, and with the parents, إِحْسَانَ means be excellent in your behavior, not just good. Yeah? إِحْسَان means now go out of your way to try and be good with parents, because you can be good generally, can't you? With human beings and general population, with your neighbors, etc. But with parents, it's actually telling you to go beyond the bar, beyond the other level. Yeah, it's not just about fulfilling the rights of the parents. Yeah, you know, here's your food, or if you haven't got a dwelling, here's the place, and just, you know, be ihsan is going beyond that, isn't it? Yeah, that's why the word ihsan is used for the parents. Now, yeah, so وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, surely Allah loves those who are muhsineen. Ibn Rajab then mentioned something about that ihsan can have different facets to it. If something is wajib to do, obligatory, then ihsan in it is wajib. And if something is mandatory, he's saying ihsan is mandatory. And then he says something is mustahab and recommended for you to do, then ihsan in it is also mustahab, cannot be made wajib, which is right and it is perhaps wrong as well. He clarifies it further, and therefore there's a bit of confusion in what he says, because he says, in one place, he says, to come with the wajibat, to fulfill those which are things which are obligatory on us, like the fard of salah, for example, and fasting in Ramadan, to do them completely, yeah, is ihsan wajib. Yes, and then he says, and ihsan in them, which is mustahab, is to do them with ikmal, do them in the best manner, to perfect them. So there's the salah, which is 5 daily to complete it, and the fast Ramadan to complete, he says, is ihsan wajib. And the ihsan, which is mustahab, is to do them in the best way. I believe that's a bit confusing, because actually to fulfill the 5 daily prayers and the fast Ramadan is adl, yeah, is justice. We can't do less than that, otherwise we are answerable. It is not ihsan. Ihsan is the quality of doing them. So the ihsan which is being ordered to us is ihsan of doing them, is quality of doing them in an excellent manner, in the best way. Yeah, we are ordered to do that, but really ordered in the same, because it's a quality thing, this is me speaking, ordered to do is the same way as we say we are ordered to have taqwa. Nobody can say it is mustahab to have taqwa, can they? What do you think? What do people think? Is it mustahab, taqwa, mubah, or fard?
Fard.
Any other offers? Okay. Interestingly, it is an order, isn't it? But can you measure taqwa and say we fulfilled the fard of taqwa?
Not at all.
But you can measure five daily prayers, can't you? Because if somebody doesn't do four, five, he does four, or instead of four rakahs, do less, then they have fallen short of the measure. Is that right?
Yes, but only for salah.
Yeah, for those things which are clear, and for salah, for fasting. For fasting, if you don't fulfill the 30 or the 29, then you have, you can measure it, can't you? Mm. All right. But taqwa is something you cannot measure. Even in fasting and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasting, la'allakum tattaqoon. So that perhaps you will gain taqwa. However, taqwa, even though it is ordered, and why do I say it's ordered? And the brother was right who spoke and said it is found, because Allah says, fattakullah, many places actually, yeah, ordering you to have taqwa in Allah. That's an order, a command. Fattakullah. Yeah, what did he say? Mastata'tum, as much as you are able to. And that is very important. Yeah, because we are ordered to have taqwa. How much taqwa? We are ordered to pray five times a day, but we know we are ordered to fast. We are ordered to perform the Hajj once in a life. So we know all that. Yeah, they're measurable. But taqwa, for example, is not measurable. So even though it's ordained, but as much as we're able to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it like that because you cannot measure it. Is that right? Similarly, ihsan, we don't say it is mustahab to have ihsan, I believe. Yeah. Ahsinu is an order. Yeah. Be excellent. This hadith is also saying, Inna la kataba al-ihsan. Allah has ordered ihsan in all things. So you are ordered, but ihsan is the qualitative thing again. Can you measure ihsan?
No.
Just like taqwa, you can't measure it. So therefore, it's like to have ihsan, do ihsan as much as you are able to, right? As much as you are able to. So when you say ihsan is obligatory, you are right, yeah? But you're also wrong, because not obligatory in the same sense of five daily prayers. You don't say somebody who's fulfilled five daily prayers that they have done the ihsan. They haven't. So this is what Ibn Rajab said, and that's why I'm saying it's confusing. But actually, the ihsan bit is in the quality of the salah. And even though it is ordained, it is must to ordain to the ability that we have as much as we're able to. For example, we are ordered to have khushu' in salah. You know what khushu' is? Yeah.
Yes.
Hum fi salati khashi'un, as Allah said, those who are in the salah have khushu, meaning that they have the focus, concentration, and humility in salah. Yeah, right? That is a qualitative thing again. We can't measure it. Do we always have that khushu in salah? All of us? Either in every salah or all the time in salah, do we have it?
No,
we don't. If it was obligatory to have it all the time, right, none of our salahs would be accepted, would it? You understand? Yes?
Yeah.
If it was obligatory part of salah, it wouldn't be. And if ihsan was obligatory part of salah, it is in a sense, but not measurable sense, because it goes up and down, because it's a qualitative thing. Yeah, like taqwa, like khushu, ihsan is similar. Yeah, and therefore, to say to perfect it or try and perfect it, I would say try and do it excellently. I wouldn't say it's mustahab, but it's actually ordained. Yeah, we're ordered to try our best. Yeah, and if we fall short, yeah, Allah is forgiving and merciful in that. Yeah, but it is trying to do that. So perhaps that clarifies it better, that ihsan is not to do with fulfilling the right. Ihsan is to go beyond the right. That's why in the verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. He says adl first. Surely Allah has ordained justice. Justice is to fulfill the right, right? Then he says wal ihsan. Ihsan is to go beyond that. Everybody with me? Ihsan is to go beyond just. That which is just, to give more, to do more, to do it in to do more or to do it in the best way. That is the meaning of ihsan. And if you apply it from hadith that we did of Jibreel, ihsan was mentioned in that one as well. Can anybody remember? Hadith number 2. What was one of the questions Jibreel asked? Anyone? In English, you don't have to give me in Arabic. Tell Jaffa.
He asked what was Ihsan, directed
to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anil Ihsan. Tell me about Ihsan. What did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say?
I think he said you worship Allah as you seek you. Yeah.
Didn't just what and beyond that. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tarah fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak. It is, and this is interesting. Ta'bud Allah. And if you've listened to my last couple of khutbahs on ibadah, you'll know what this ibadah means here. Some people said it is to worship, do your salah and worshipping, ritual worship as though Allah sees you. Is that correct? It is correct. It's not. It's wider than that. Yeah. Don't we live our lives and behave and submit to Allah as though He sees us? Is that not what we're supposed to do? Or is it some people who got this idea of only in worship, when they do the salam of salah and they walk away, yeah, how do we behave, majority of our Muslims? Not as though Allah is seeing us. Is that right? Well, I believe that's a misapplication of the hadith. To understand ibadah is the same meaning that mention of what Allah created us for, yeah? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created jinn and human beings except that for my worship and submission. Does that mean that they were supposed to stay in the prayer or in the masjid all the time, all life? No, it doesn't. So it must have a wider meaning than that. Therefore, when the Prophet ﷺ says that ihsan is to worship and submit and serve Allah as though you see Him, and though you see Him not, truly He sees you. So it's to do it like that. Everybody with me? That is ihsan. Now, bring that hadith to this hadith, and you'll see that when you're doing anything as a believer, Allah has ordained that you have ihsan in it. In other words, do it as though Allah is watching you and assessing you, yeah? Or as though you're seeing Him, and though you don't see Him, as though He sees you and He's assessing you. How will you do it then? In the best way. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Yes? You see how that hadith links with this hadith in Ihsan? Everybody see that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So see, this hadith is going and explaining Ihsan further. The meaning of Ta'bud Allah is being brought out in this hadith in more detail. And you notice here when Ihsan is mentioned now, yeah? Now the Prophet, did he talk about Salah or fasting here?
No.
He did it indirectly, but not in the detail. He does when he says, Inna Allah kataba l'ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah's ordered, yeah? Ihsan in all things. So does that include fasting and Salah?
Of course.
Yeah, you understand. But when he gives the example of application of it, he doesn't give the example of salah and fasting, because we already might think that already, but he's taken it into the territory of how to behave with others. Yeah, that's where ihsan is as well. Yeah, where it's been stressed. Then Ibn Rajab goes into some detail of breaking down what Imam Tufi mentioned about human beings and about animals, etc. Yeah, where this can apply, especially when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ, فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُ الْقِتْلَ. And when you kill, yeah, then kill proficiently. Now, this killing cannot be the same as the slaughter of an animal. So this killing must be referring to different, yeah? Because the animal bit's mentioned after that. Yes? So this killing is referring to human beings, and that's why Ibn Rajab goes into the whole idea of, he says that, ihsan in killing for the one who is allowed to be killed means that it should be done swiftly. Yeah, swift way. So any method which is the swiftest method of killing is necessary. All right. He mentions here quite rightly that the Prophet ﷺ, in authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, he says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا بعث سرية تغزو في سبيل الله قال لهم لا تمثلوا ولا تقتلوا وليدا. When he used to send out a battalion in war of soldiers, the Prophet ﷺ used to say to them, in the way of Allah, he used to say, do not mutilate people. Yeah, do not mutilate people. That includes torture and mutilation. Yeah, the torture, the kind of torture that's being done in Guantanamo Bay, the kind of torture that was done by the civilized race in Iraq, in the prisons there, and the kind of tortures that they carried out in prisons in Afghanistan, often to innocent people, yeah, who have told their stories. All that haram in Islam. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ telling at that time, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا وَلِيدًا, and don't kill any children. In this particular hadith, he mentions. In another one, the Prophet ﷺ said, which is mentioned by Bukhari, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَى عَنِ الْمُثْلَةِ. The Prophet ﷺ forbade from mutilation. مَنْ مَثَّلَ بِذِي رُوحٍ. Whoever mutilates anything with a ruh, a soul, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُبْ, and then doesn't repent, مَثَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ يَوْمِ الْقَيَامَةِ. Allah will mutilate him as a punishment on the Day of Judgment. So it's a severe warning in this hadith about mutilation, about torturing humans and animals, brothers and sisters. That's that hadith covers. Ibn Rajab goes into, and before I go there, into the details. Why does the Prophet ﷺ mention here, this is me talking, not Ibn Rajab now, why does he mention, after mentioning ihsan in all things, he mentions killing of a person should be done in the most proficient way, slaughtering of an animal must be done in the most proficient way, to sharpen the blade, yeah, to make it, in other words, laser sharp if you can have today, yeah, to spare suffering to the animal, yeah? You must do that. And therefore to kill or slaughter with a blunt blade is really seen as something sinful, as we'll come to. But why mention these things? You see, excellence, proficiency in all things. So in other words, Prophet says, in all things in life, even to the extent when you come to killing. You see what I'm saying? So he's gone to a place where nobody would even think of taking proficiency and excellence to, would you? When you think of excellence, you'll talk about excellence in behavior, being kind, being considerate, being forgiving, being charitable. These are things that we think of, don't we? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are all those things in there?
Definitely.
In this hadith?
It's all encompassing.
Are all those things in there?
Yes, absolutely.
They are, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Alhamdulillah.
They're there, aren't they? Allah has ordained ihsan in all things. So they're all there. And we'll think about those things. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the things which we wouldn't even think about. Generally, human beings won't think about when it comes to slaughtering an animal, or it's just an animal. You know, like many Muslims behave nowadays when they slaughter animals, and I've seen it with my own eyes, sadly, in Muslim countries. Yeah? They just think, never mind slaughtering them. The way they treat animals, many Muslims, not all, many Muslim countries and Muslims, the way they treat their horses, the way they treat their donkeys, the way they treat their camels, it's as though they were still living in Jahili times. And the Prophet of God, the mercy to all creation, came more than 1,400 years ago to sort their heads and their character out about how serious that is, didn't he? And it's as though they never heard it. And they hear the adhan from the mosque, and they go and pray in the mosque. The carriage driver with the horse in front who goes to pray in the mosque hears the adhan, and he's whipped it, and you can see the wounds, and he's starved it, yeah? This is totally unacceptable. And some people said to me, oh, well, he's poor. Is poorness an excuse for cruelty to your animal? No, it is not. It is not, sorry. It is not. Nobody gave that excuse to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to a place where you wouldn't think he'll take excellent ihsan to. And that is to killing, to finish somebody off, or to slaughter an animal, not to looking after an animal. So therefore it covers when you've taken to the limit, which is getting rid of somebody and slaughtering an animal, then what about those who are living? How you're supposed to behave in ihsan with them and looking after the animal before you even slaughter it? What about that? All of that is therefore covered with more priority, yeah, than when you come to actually even killing them. So you see where the hadith is coming from. It's giving it to the very limits where you don't expect ihsan to go to, so that everything under the arch of it is already covered with more right and more necessity. Yeah, that's how I always understood this hadith. It really is beautiful from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So anyway, Ibn Rajab goes into area of the killing of a human being can be done for two reasons. One, he says, out of qisas, which I've already mentioned, life for a life, for murder as one of the options. And the other, he says, killing of a disbeliever, a kafir, either they have originally kufr original or murtad, they are renegades. We've talked about this before, and he says, majority of scholars say that this person who's a disbeliever should be killed with a sharpened sword or the renegade. But there you are, big debate on it. Yeah, for me, we're talking about killing of others in warfare, in war. Even in warfare, killing must be done in with ihsan. Yeah, therefore not torturing people because of the excuse of war. Yeah, pulling out their nails. Yeah, playing music to them all night long, throwing buckets of water and doing drowning of them. Yeah, what do they call it? Water bucketing, is it?
Waterboarding.
Waterboarding. Yeah. How cruel are human beings, and they claim to be civilized? It's an absolute disgrace. Yeah, or people are playing music to them all night, keeping them awake with loud music, or sending naked women to muttaqim Muslims because they know that these Muslims, they think that adultery and bad behavior is haram with another woman. So sending naked women writhing on them, doing all sorts. I mean, that's an absolute disgrace. Yeah, this has been done by the Americans in recent times. Never mind what they did in the past. So, anyway, we're talking about in warfare situation, if it's necessary to kill in the most swiftest manner, the enemies who are fighting you, not just killing anybody. Then it comes to the issue of killing of a human being, qisasan, which is or blood money is offered. yeah, in compensation, the family whose person has been killed can have blood money, as was given to, as is given even in present day. The American government gave blood money to somebody, somebody who was killed recently. And you'll see it at times in the news that they give it as compensation when somebody has died, and there's nobody to compensate for it. But this is something which is there in Islam. But here, Ibn Rajab mentions a verse in the Quran, which is interesting, because he mentions not just killing, but about injury. What if somebody injures somebody, and they cut somebody's nose off, cut somebody's ear off, throws acid on somebody's face, harm somebody's hand, makes them paralyzed. The Hanafiya said, we follow the verse of the Quran which was sent to Bani Israel. This is ayah number 45 in Surah 5, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا. Notice كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. What does كَتَبْنَا mean? We have ordained for them. فِيهَا in the Torah. The verse before it mentions what tells you what fiha is. So we have ordained to them in the Torah, أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأُذْنَ بِالْأُذْنِ وَالسِّنَّ بِالسِّنِّ وَالْأُذْنَ بِالْأُذْنِ وَالسِّنَّ بِالسِّنِّ وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ فَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةٌ لَهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And we have ordained and ordered in the Torah a life for a life, yeah, for them, for the Bani Israel. A life for a life, an eye for an eye, a nose for a nose, an ear for an ear, a tooth for a tooth, and for all wounds, the like for like. But whoever forgoes it by way of charity, forgoes it, meaning the victim, if they forego it out of sadaqah, it will be for them an expiation, a kafara of their sins. Yeah? Look, Allah's encouraging again about foregoing and being charitable. Those who do not judge by that which Allah has revealed are indeed wrongdoers. Okay, so this ayah, Hanafiya are of the view that this applies still to us. But it's quite just. If somebody purposely chops your ear off, are you justified to ask for justice that their ear be chopped off? Yeah? People say, oh, that's horrific. Well, actually, it's justice. They did it to your ear, as long as you don't go beyond what they did and chop both of their ears off in compensation. Is it justice to ask that demand that that person's ear should be chopped off? They did it for no reason, just for fun. What do you think?
Yes.
I think it's just, isn't it? Anybody with any sense will think this is just and not going beyond justice. It's not cruelty. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. What have they left you with, a chopped off ear? Yeah. So that's what was ordained in the Torah by Allah. It's not made up by human beings, but it's a just law. Nose for a nose, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But the majority of the fuqaha, however, they said that the Jumhur, they said, no, Islam came, yeah, and gave instead of this, it gave compensation instead, or blood money, yeah. And for full murder, of course, there was the possibility of death penalty. But for injuries, etc., there was compensation, not necessarily taking a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. The ones, Hanafiya, who said it is tooth for a tooth, eye for an eye, supported this with the hadith, which is mentioned in Bukhari Muslim from Anas. This is a hadith about a young woman who was hit by a Jew at the time, and the religion's nothing to do with it, but he happened to be in Medina, with a rock. Yeah, he basically smashed her head with a rock. Yeah, he was guilty of doing that. And she was dying, and they asked who did it, and she told them who did it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, ordered that this person should have the rock, yeah, smash their heads in the same way as well. Now, how did the Jumhur, the majority of scholars, respond to this hadith? They said this was in early times, but this became abrogated, yeah, by what? By the Prophet ﷺ saying there is no mutilation allowed in Islam. Remember, after the Battle of Badr, Uhud, actually, when the Kuffar mutilated the bodies of the believers, the Prophet ﷺ said initially, when Allah gives us victory over them, we will do worse than this to them. In other words, we'll mutilate their bodies as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid mutilation. Okay, so it came later on. And that's why the Jumhur say, once mutilation came as that which is forbidden, then this becomes what was done to the Yehudi who smashed the head of the Muslim woman, becomes abrogated. That's how they argue. Now, the question that was posed again by, I didn't really want to go into it, but Ibn Rajab poses a question. He says, what if somebody killed a person and what they killed them with mutilating them as well, meaning torturing them, then killing them? What should we do to them? There was three different opinions on this. Yeah. One group said that they should have done to them what they did. Yeah. So if they killed and they also mutilated and caused torture, it should be done similar to them. That was Imam Malik, yeah, a Shafi'i, and Ahmad's view, interestingly. Ahmed, the second view, which was the view of Abu Hanifa and Al-Thawri, yeah, and Ahmed also has a narration for this view as well. Actually, Ahmed has a view, and this is quite common in many issues. Imam Ahmed is reported as having three different views of all the different opinions, because at different times, different students recorded from him, he may have changed his mind. Yeah, so some followed one opinion of his students, others follow other opinions. So Ahmed seems to have an opinion in this, in which he says, no, they're not to be tortured. They are to be killed proficiently with a sharp sword. At the time, that's what they had proficiently. In other words, guillotined, you could say. And they're not to be tortured. The third view is also one of the views of Ahmed. What did that say? That they are to be killed as they killed the other person if they're tortured, unless it was that they burnt the person or they actually, yeah, or they burnt, or they mutilated the person. In that case, we don't do that. But if they did anything else by injury, etc., then same should be done to them. Best view, I believe, is that which is the balanced view, and that is kill them, not with torturing and not with giving the same injury to them, but actually by the most proficient method, which is also the view of this hadith, isn't it? فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ. And when you kill them in the most proficient way. Then it's interesting, never mind killing, if you look at things about animals, subhanAllah, in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, in Ibn Abbas, who says, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَا أَنْ يُتَّخِذَ شَيْءٌ فِيهِ رُوحٌ غَرْضًا. Yeah, that the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade that of anything that which has a soul in it should be made for target practice. This hadith tells you two things, similar to what I said before, the other hadith. Firstly, target practice, that's cruelty to animals, isn't it? Yeah, just shooting at sparrows and pigeons, etc., for target practice, yeah, or anything. Second thing this tells you is that people who say the soul is only in the jinns and the human beings, animals don't have souls. Well, this hadith is telling you the opposite, isn't it? Is that right?
SubhanAllah, yes.
It's quite right. This hadith is not talking about human beings, talking about animals. Yeah? So those who have souls. So this at least is telling you itself that animals have souls. SubhanAllah. Yeah? Fihi ruh ghardan. Don't use it as target practice. And then, now, Here we go. Prophet ﷺ saying another hadith reported in Ahmad and Ibn Majah, reported from Ibn Umar. Amara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bihadd shafarata. The Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, ordered the sharpening of the blade. Wa antuwara anil bahaim. And that it should be hidden from the animal. You know, not like I saw in Damascus and other places in Muslim world. The guy's got the animals not just standing there, sometimes lying there, and he's sharpening the blade, you know, in front of all the animals who are lined up for the slaughter. Prophet, I'm telling you not to sharpen it, but not to hide it from the animals. وَقَالْ إِذَا ذَبَحَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُجْهِزْ. And if one of you, he said, slaughters an animal, then they should do it swiftly and quickly, meaning efficiently, same as the hadith of Ihsan here, put in different words. Another hadith in Tabrani, and Al-Hakim reports it as well in his Mustadrak, which is authentic from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, marra Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi rajul wadi'i rijlahu ala safhati shat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a person who has put his foot on the side of the sheep. وَهُوَ يَحُدُّ شَفْرَةَ. And he was sharpening his blade, the animals, under his foot, ready to be slaughtered, and he's sharpening his blade. Yeah? وَهِيَ تَلْهَلْ إِلَيْهِ. And the animal was looking at him, looking at the blade being sharpened. بِبَصْرِهَا, with its sight, looking at it. Yeah? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, afala qabla hadha? Yeah, why didn't you do this sharpening before this? Turid an tumitaha mawtat? Are you trying to kill it many times? Prophet Sallam, he's cross. He's saying, are you trying to kill this animal many times? Yeah. So the same idea of not having other animals watching lined up, yeah, is the same idea of sparing suffering to the animal. To treat them in that manner. And then we have a hadith, which are so amazing about, this tells you the killing in the most proficient manner. And those hadith about talking about people who, the hadith in Bukhari Muslim, in Bukhari, for example, that a woman was dahalatil mar'atu, a woman who was made to enter hellfire because of the cat, her cat. Rabatatha falam tut'imha. She used to tie it up and not feed it. Walam tada'ha, and not let it go free. Ta'kula min khashashil ad, so she could eat the cat could eat the vermin of the earth. Yeah. That cruelty led that woman, she'll be going to hellfire because of it. This is the beauty of ihsan. Ihsan to the animals. And I mentioned many times a prostitute woman from Bani Israel time who gives a dog to drink, a thirsty dog, yeah, goes and takes a shoe and goes back down the well and brings water and gives it to the thirsty dog to drink, who was forgiven. Yeah. And similarly, a man who did the same as well. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. That hadith is, these are two separate hadiths. What about a prostitute woman, and there's one about a man who did the same as well, mentioned in Bukhari Muslim, who gave a thirsty dog water to drink and was forgiven. Another hadith, which is interesting, in Sahih Muslim and Abu Dawud, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Afala tattaqillaha fi hadhihi al-bahima." This, the Prophet ﷺ said, in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, in which he mentions about the Prophet Sallam coming across a camel, yeah, and where is it? This hadith is mentioned in, as I said, Abi Dawood as well, a shorter version in Sahih Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Ja'far, who said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has seated me behind him the day he was riding one day, and he told me something which secretly, and he told me not to tell anybody. Here's a hadith about Prophet telling a secret, telling somebody a secret not to tell anybody. Remember, we talked about a secret thing before. But you see why he said it as a secret? Because he said, he told me where he goes and relieves himself behind certain trees. Yeah, he goes to the toilet. Obviously, you're not going to go and tell everybody and make it public announcement on it. Oh, he's going to keep it a secret, isn't he? Subhanallah. Yeah. It's not secret in a sense of guidance that is kept secret. Yeah. So then he says, فَدَخَلَ حَائِطًا لِرَجُلٍ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ فَإِذَا جَمَلٍ. He entered into a place, a garden area of one of the people of the Ansar. And there was a camel. فَلَمَّا رَأَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. When the camel saw the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَنَّ وَذَرَفَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. The camel started moaning. Like that. That's what it's saying. Yeah. So this is a companion. This is authentic of it. The camel started moaning as though it was weeping and crying. Yeah. وَذَرَفَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, as though it had tears in the eyes. فَأَتَاهُ النَّبِيُّ. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, came to the camel. فَمَسَحَ ذِفْرَاهُ. And he started rubbing the temple, the side of the camel's head, and the camel settled down and went quiet. Subhanallah. Faqal, and the Messenger of Allah then said, Man Rabbu Hadha al-Jamal, who is the owner of this camel? Yeah. Liman Hadha al-Jamal. Faja'a fata min al-Ansar. A young man came from the Ansar and said, it is mine, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Messenger of Allah said, Afala tattaqi Allah? Tattaqi Allah? Do you not fear Allah in fi hadhihi al-bahima, in this animal? Allati mallaka Allahu iyyaha, which Allah has given in your authority and your ownership. Fa innahu shaka, for it is complaining, meaning to me, ilayya, annaka tuji'uhu wa tud'ibu, that you keep it starving and that you overload it and make it tired. The camel is complaining to me. So fear Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Subhanallah. Yeah, a beautiful hadith. Another one in Abu Dawud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqullah fi hadhihi al-baha'im. Be, have fear, be mindful of Allah in these animals and beasts. Yeah, al-mu'jama, which are dumb to you, meaning you can't understand their language. Irkabu ha salihatan, ride them in the best manner. Wakuluha salihatan, and feed them the best, the good. Yeah. In one hadith, actually, which is really interesting, in Abu Dawud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, where's it gone? He says, this is in Abu Dawud, Hassan Hadith, from Abi Huraira, the Prophet said, إِيَّاكُمْ أَن تَتَّخِذُوا ظُهُورَ دَوَابِّكُمْ مَنَابِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّمَا سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُبَلِّغَكُمْ إِلَى بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِشِكِّ الْأَنْفُسِ وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَعَلَيْهَا فَقْضُوا حَاجَتَكُمْ. He said, do not treat the backs of your animals as pulpits. In other words, just sitting on them for no reason. Yeah? Just sitting on the animal, the horse or the camel, just sitting, having a relax. Don't treat them like members, like pulpits to sit on. Yeah? He says, for Allah has made them subject to you only to convey you from one place to another, which you could not have reached without difficulty. He has appointed the earth for you, so as a place to work on, so conduct your business in it. I love that hadith, because it's actually even telling you to be careful of just loading the animal. Yeah, can you imagine? That's just sitting on it. So if you put a load on the camel or the animal, make it stand there for a few hours, and you haven't even set off while you have your dinner, have a chat, that's cruelty. Take it off. Subhanallah. Yeah, so I wanted to mention those ahadith, because specifically they talk about dealing with ihsan to animals, never mind when it comes to doing zabiha. So overall, really, this hadith, if we summarize it, brothers and sisters, what is ihsan? Ihsan is excellence or excellent behavior and proficiency. Yeah, that we do whatever believers that we do, that we are responsible for, we will be asked about it. We are being encouraged in order to have ihsan. Do it in the best way, as though Allah is watching us. And even though, yeah, we don't see him, truly he sees us. In other words, Allah's watching us. To do that which we are, whether it's our salah, whether it's our fasting, whether it's giving charity, whether it's studying, whether it's eating of the right food, drinking, yeah, behaving with the neighbors, behaving with other people, all that requires from us ihsan. Yeah, ihsan in anything we do. In our work, when we work the best, because we're giving a wage. It's nothing to do with, oh, I'm working for a non-Muslim, so I won't work very well. Subhanallah, that's injustice. Yeah, adl is to give the full right for the compensation of the wage. Ihsan is to go beyond that. And we are people of ihsan, we're supposed to be. So when we study, we do the best of our ability. Doesn't mean to say we're all going to get A stars, because people are being given capabilities which are different. Their brain, some people have got strengths in one field and not in others. Yeah, and not everybody's. Just because we do ihsan doesn't mean to say all Muslims are going to get A stars and the non-Muslims are not. No, that's nonsense. But we, from a believer's point of view, Allah watching, everything that we do is for his pleasure. And we hope for reward for when we go to sleep, for what we eat and drink, for when we study, for when we work. Yeah, in all those fields, we're hoping, because they all come under ibadah. And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. Back to that again. What the answer to Jibreel was from the Prophet ﷺ, that you worship and serve Allah as though you see him, and though you see him not, truly he sees you. So ihsan in our speech, ihsan, how we speak, ihsan is a quality, yeah? Quality, because efficiency and excellence is a quality. Yeah? Ihsan towards parents, ihsan towards children, yeah, ihsan in speech. Ihsan means to others, means, yeah, like the Quran says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ, and good can never be equal to bad. اِذْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, return a bad with that which is better. Ihsan is ihsan. That is ihsan, yeah? Because otherwise, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٌ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا, and the compensation for a bad is a bad in return. That's justice, isn't it? Like we said before, وَمَنْ أَفَى, but one who pardons, well, that's taking you to a different place. That is ihsan. You're returning bad that which is good. In the fact, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن. So these are some aspects of ihsan. But where we forget it is also in the things that we do. That if we're doing something in a workplace, if we're doing something for the mosque, if we're doing something which is not to do with salah and fasting, the idea isn't here that you say, oh, inshallah, brother, it'll be all right. That's our attitude out there, because we limited ihsan and we don't actually even do it in ibadat. Yeah, everything's sort of mediocre. Yeah. That's not, believers are those who are, you know, full of this ihsan. That's what we've been told in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Yeah. So the sign of the believer will be this in their behavior, in their attitude. of trying to achieve proficiency and an efficiency in all things. If we applied that in all fields, the Muslim world would be a different place, because they don't apply it to education, they don't apply it to architecture, they don't apply it to research, they don't apply it to neighborly needs, they don't apply it, I can carry on with the list, huh? They don't apply it to how they treat animals and the environment, do they? The Muslim world will be a different place. And this is our core teaching. This is, as told you earlier, like quite rightly, Ibn Rajab and Imam Tufi saying, this is an arm, a general principle of this deen. Yeah. So it's a topic that is crucial for believers to realize and understand and put it into practice. Notice here, the hadith isn't left to your niyyah. I have the niyyah of ihsan. The hadith goes on practically to show you and tell you to do something, which is, you know, it's not just, yeah, I don't want to be cruel to the animal, just grab a knife and slaughter it. No, it's telling you to sharpen the blade. In other words, it's telling you to go and find the laser sharp blade. Nowadays, find laser sharp. Find that which is best. So you have to make some effort if you want to show ihsan. It requires taking practical steps. Therefore, it requires inventing a laser sharp blade. It requires inventing a way of dhabiha, yeah, which requires still the cutting of the vessels for draining the blood. That's a different thing. So you can't go to the idea of a gas chamber and say that's least cruel, because then it avoids something else which is crucial as part of the biha for us to eat and halal, which is the cutting of the vessels and the blood flow. But anyway, I don't want to go into that topic. I wanted to avoid that for this hadith. So alhamdulillah, that's all I have to say. We've covered this hadith, alhamdulillah, in one session. Any questions, finally, before we finish on the topic for today, brothers and sisters?
JazakAllah khairan, Brother Mirad, for an excellent session as usual. Just wanted to pick up on the point you made about architecture, and I can only agree with you wholeheartedly that, subhanAllah, the Muslim world is stuck in still trying to create green domes and minarets that look like we're trying to aim for the moon, when we haven't even set ourselves up on earth. So JazakAllah khairan for that excellent point.
They copied them of the Christians anyway, the domes and the minarets.
In fact, subhanAllah, actually, it was something that was adapted from the Muslims by the Christians, because the Muslims, mashallah, had experimented in structures that the Christians worried about.
That's good. Yeah, that's good to me.
Had gone above them in engineering, mashallah. But that was one area where, alhamdulillah, in Ihsan, we had done well. But sadly, the style of the same now remains. So, JazakAllah.
Yeah, exactly. We're stuck in taqleed, blind following in the madhab, in our fiqh, and also in our buildings.
SubhanAllah.
That's a reflection of our state, isn't it?
Of course. JazakAllah khairan.
Yeah, but now you mentioned that, I think we should, somehow of us should make arrangements to go and visit the Mosque of Cambridge. I've seen it on YouTube videos. It's absolutely amazing.
It is, mashallah. I mean,
you'll know about it.
No, alhamdulillah, it's absolutely stunning. And obviously, the unbelievable thing is, of course, it was done by our non-Muslim brothers and sisters. And at quite a colossal budget as well. We have to remember that, because some brothers asked me to try and replicate the same, but with a very, very modest budget. And
even though there I you are. There lies our problem as well. There lies our problem. We throw out peanuts and expect the best experts to come, but we don't realize we throw out peanuts, monkeys will come.
You get monkeys, absolutely. SubhanAllah. Well said, I think.
This is us again, not valuing. Not showing, but anyway, any other questions? That's that lack of understanding of ihsan again, you see.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, grandson.
Yes, Abu. I just have a question regarding, you were talking about, you know, retribution and punishment. In America, they have the death sentence, and there's two ways they do that. They have the electric chair, or they have the injection of chemicals. Where would those two things fit into that spectrum?
probably the electric chair would be seen as very cruel, wouldn't it? Because, you know, it's not something that where there's instant death, where a guillotine is more instant death than the electric chair. Yeah, guillotine that especially the French used, I think, where the sharp blade comes down and it's an instant. Yeah, so I would say that was more instant. So the injection is more likely, more fitting than that. Certainly the electric chair. I think electric chair is a terrible, torturous way of killing somebody. But that's my opinion. What do you think, you lot? Any offers?
No, completely agree, Dr. Munir. Yes, yes, of course. The electrical chair would be more torturous compared to just a chemical injection. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, it doesn't have to be a, like we're still following the domes, it doesn't have to be a sword that we chop the head off with. Yeah. The old view of the scholars we don't have to follow, which is use a sharp sword. But anyway, any other question?
Just a quick reflection on Ihsan and Salat, and you mentioning it not being measurable. So I remember one hadith you quoted probably a year ago about, you said the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that we would come to Salah and then we will get part of it. So some share out of it, not completely. So I think Ihsan reflects there as well, that how much you're going to take out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So khushu as well plays a part. How much khushu you have will gauge how much you get. You can't measure it, of course, because that's a measure. You know, the four rakahs or five daily prayers, we can measure. But the measure of how much we're going to get out of the salah, we cannot measure. It's Allah's measuring. But we're being encouraged to do the most we can with our side of the bargain in ihsan and khushu in our salah. Isn't that right?
Of course, yes.
Jazakallah khair for mentioning that.
Jazakallah.
Anybody else? Jazakumullah khairan. Is that 3 weeks?
Yes, Sheikh, it's 3 weeks.
May Allah give you shifa. Quickly, so 1 week off. Are you all right with that, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought somebody was going to say, no, we're not all right with it. Yeah. Okay. Remember us in your du'as. It's a pleasure. I was going to say it's a pleasure seeing you all, but I can't see any of you. That's cruel. Anyway, I shall encourage you in future, those of you can and want to put your cameras on so I can see my students. All my brothers and sisters. Jazakumullah khairan.
Jazakumullah khairan to you as well.
Hafizakumullah. Du'as and salams. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Fi imanillah.
Assalam.